Our psalm will be our reading this morning and our gospel lesson from the Gospel of Luke, talking about Jesus' triumphant entry. So before we hear the word read and proclaimed, let us go to God in prayer. You say with me the prayer of illumination. Eternal God, quiet within us all mortal voices, that through the story of the Passion and by the power of your Holy Spirit, we may have the same mind that was in Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. This is a reading from Psalm 118, verses 1 and 2 and 19 through 29. It starts on page 956 in your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. And in verse 19, open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which righteousness may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. For the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession. Join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Amen and amen. And from our gospel lesson, chapter 19, starting in verse 28. This is on page 1631 in your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. Let's listen to the word of God. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. He had approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives. He sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Tell them, the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it, just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, the owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? And they replied, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. And as they went along, people started spreading their cloaks on the road. When he had come near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God indeed. So I'm trying to imagine that triumphant entry into Jerusalem and what it must have been like for Jesus, for Jesus' disciples, remembering that they did not know all that would unfold later in the week. Jesus, of course, told them what to expect. Three times he had said plainly, we're going up to Jerusalem. You can imagine them just kind of huddled up. Jesus is kind of, okay, you know, look at me, listen. We're going up to Jerusalem. And everything that is written by the prophet about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and insult him and spit on him. And they will flog him and they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again. Even so, I suspect that they didn't fully understand, not fully, the horror that they would witness. And especially in light of the response of Jesus coming into Jerusalem, everything seemed to be going so well as they entered into the city. And Jesus told two of the disciples to get a donkey with only the words, "The Lord needs it." This was the deposit. This was the collateral, right? This was the payment. And so it happened. And the Lord, the crowd swelled, and with it, the joys and the shouts of praise. I mean, how intoxicating it really must have been to be part of such adulation and such adoration. I mean, who wouldn't want to be associated with Jesus on this day, really? And would it have been akin to riding in a parade with maybe a returning war hero or the championship sports team, right? Or a newly elected official, right? I mean, power and status and praise and triumph. Yeah, today I'm with Jesus. Of all days, right? So I'm trying to imagine how it felt to Jesus. Jesus' closest friends and followers when the world bowed at his feet and threw cloaks into his path and sang of his greatness. I mean, I recognize this kind of victorious faith, and I worry too often that, well, we contemporary Christians, we stop. We stop on Palm Sunday and we forget, we neglect to keep going to what happens later in the week. Palm Sunday praises devoid of the passion make for a hollow or dangerous religion. And when we fail to keep following Christ the next day and the next day and the next, all the way to the cross, we envision a Christianity synonymous with winning rather than a faith that requires vulnerability. Vulnerability in love and in sacrifice. And yet I don't want to skip over the joy and the glory of this Sunday. And in the face of far too much violence and too many shouts of hate, I want to indwell in this, the beauty of this unstoppable proclamations. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory to the Father. I want to bask in this truth of these words. The power of speaking them even after Jesus' declaration of the suffering and death to come. The audacity of ignoring, bless you, the Pharisees' rebuke. And instead declaring the reign of the Lord despite the current role of sinister worldly powers. This year, Palm Sunday feels more like a protest march than a triumphant parade, a witness to the courage of the crowds to worship the one who knows their worth in front of those who want to keep them quiet. A prophetic display of the relentless rule of God that destroys death and refuses to be silenced. Raises up the least of these. Recovers the lost and saves the sinners. Palm Sunday proclaims Jesus' triumph, his certain triumph, his ultimate rule over heaven and earth, and the great reversal that he promised in his inaugural sermon at his home synagogue in Nazareth. Palm Sunday is not about Christians aligning themselves with power and status and adulation and adoration. It's about joyously standing with the one who stands with those on the margins, recognizing that we are the sinners he sought and saved and refused to be silenced by the Pharisees or any other earthly power attempting to maintain this kind of status quo. I mean, it must have been a pungent day for the disciples. People shouting their approval, the road lined with cloaks, and a day of victory after leaving all they knew and enduring hardship and wondering some days if it wouldn't have been easier. It just wouldn't have been easier to, let's just go stick with fishing. Let's just go stick with tax collecting. This is too hard. I can't do this. The disciples might have questioned Jesus' three times warning about suffering and humiliation and death on the day of glory and praise. But maybe, just maybe, they recognized that this triumphant entry foreshadowed this promised resurrection. Perhaps they understood the courage required to proclaim the lordship of Jesus on Palm Sunday and on Good Friday, and certainly after the risen Christ ascended and the Spirit came rushing down. The disciples look back on this Sunday, maybe, and they remembered that even if every person remained mute about the reign of the Lord, the stones would cry out because nothing, no one, and prevent the triumphant, life-saving, evil-defying, death-crushing power of the triune God. Nothing. So this year, I encourage us all to be utterly present this Palm Sunday, this Holy Week. I want to remember to look around. Look around and see the faces. See the faces of those that are throwing, quote unquote, their most valuable garments at the feet of Christ, unable to hold back their joy and their praise at being seen and valued and healed and loved. I want to be among them, unashamed to show my gratitude for the grace and the mercy that has been bestowed upon me. I want to be ready to hand over whatever I have simply because the Lord needs it. Period. No questions asked. I want to get lost in the joy of this day, the beauty of worship, the assurance that Jesus' words are trustworthy and true. He will enter Jerusalem. And everything that the prophets wrote about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. The suffering, the violence, the death, and the unstoppable third day in which he will rise again. I want to demonstrate the courage of all those who refuse to be silenced by oppressive powers and instead in joyous defiance proclaim the life-saving rule of Christ. On this Palm Sunday, I want us to stand with those who will stand up and stand up to that power that imagined God's redemption in this world cannot be stopped. We need to remember, contemporary Christians, you and I need to remember, this Palm Sunday is not a victory parade for the powerful, but it's a protest march to the least of these, where Jesus is recognized as Lord of all. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.